Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Who is excited to be in God's presence? Hallelujah. I want to use the opportunity, first of all, to welcome all of our daddies and our mommies in the house. Everybody who have taken our time out of their very busy schedules to, you know, come to this meeting. My spiritual mother is in the house. I think it is worthy. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you, Ma. There are many erudite graces of God here present. And if I want to go over their names one after the other, I think we already know time is not on our side. So I just want to celebrate and salute the labors of every minister of the gospel here present. It is an honor to share fellowship with you. God bless you. Can we celebrate them? Amen. The reason why we are gathered and the reason why God orchestrates platforms like this is because of an utterance that left the mouth of the five wise virgins to the foolish. When they began to beckon upon the wise virgins to lend them oil, because theirs has run out. And oil was not what was actually the challenge. The challenge was the fire, but the oil was the strength of the fire. And so you don't go for fire, you go for the oil. Because actually, no man can set himself on fire. The fire that burns upon the altar of burnt offering in the temple as of old was ignited by the finger of God. So you are not the one to set yourself on fire. In fact, the source of that fire must be divine. Now the challenge was that the fire of these five foolish virgins was dying, and they could recognize that their spiritual zeal was dying, their love for God was dying. All the indices that suggest backsliding, they could see it in their life. Before they arrive at the total state of death, they beckon, they seek for help. They say, "Help us with oil." And the recommendation of the wise virgin, they say, "Go to them that sell oil." Who are these ones that can sell oil? Who are these ones that have legitimate permission to sell oil? And mind you, the currency to purchase oil is not money, it's hunger. This is why anywhere you see eagles gather, anywhere you see a conglomerate, a confluence of anointings coming together to rub aloes together, is a place where oil is sold. In case your spiritual life was dying, look for this kind of programs. Enter. Something is like a generator. They will fire you up again. You can't set yourself on fire. In this kingdom, it is permitted to share fire. This is where oil is sold. And just in case you walked in here and you were sitting down, just dragging your feet, being distracted, you came to the place, a spiritual refinery. Everybody you see ascending this hallowed podium, every one of them is an embodiment of a particular dimension of God. And so when you are leaving this meeting, the presence of God registered upon several vessels that are track record of several seasons of dealings must have registered on your body. It's like perfumes. This man comes with his flavor. This one comes with his fragrance. When you are living here, you should be a compendium of many aloes. How can you live here and be the same? How? Pray for 1 minute. I have barely 30 minutes, but it has to count. 1 minute. I refuse to leave this place without a signature of the Spirit upon my life. I refuse to live here with drought in my spirit. I refuse. Lions roar. Eagles fly. He's in you. You are born to fly. Lions roar. Eagles fly. He's in you. You are born to fly.
We will not stop till we look just like you.
Is that your cry?
I will not stop till I look.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless you. The theme of this convergence is ascension. And I've, you know, employed the services of the dictionary to give us a definition so that we don't speak the philosophies of men alone. And by the dictionary, which is the philosophy of men, hear what ascension is defined as. Ascension means entering heaven while still alive. And it's carnal men that wrote this one. There is no rhema. They were not powered by any spirit. They knew that if it is about ascension, it will be bodily. You will enter there. And they knew that ascension means entering heaven while still alive. That detail was captured. Just in case you have a dictionary in your phone, make reference to it and see what carnal men wrote. We have people claiming they ascended in every high. Entering heaven while still alive. You know, so what then does the concept of ascension suggest? It means to live the fullness of the life. Huh? If you can hear me, say amen. Amen. To live the fullness of the life of the age to come in this age. Now, we know that when we all finish our sojourning here on earth and the role is called up yonder, we know that we will be raptured, we who have Jesus Christ. We know that there will be no tears in that city far beyond the stars. We know sickness will be a thing of the past. We know God will dry all of our tears. However, in this kingdom, it is permitted for you to journey ahead of your generation and operate in the reality of an age way advanced to you. Listen. You hear Isaiah sitting casually and making statements that will take hundreds of years for his generation to catch up with what he saw sitting down. People will just be together in a fellowship like this. A man will begin to make dark utterances. He will say, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. When he was speaking, I am persuaded everybody there present thinks he's speaking gibberish. Until the day of fulfillment, then they will make reference to a man who was years ahead of his generation. It meant that time did not limit these men. They were not living in 2023. They've gone beyond. It was David that said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. What was he talking about? The coronation service of Jesus. This is what happens after resurrection, when God was going to honor Jesus with that one seat. Remember, in Revelations chapter 4, the Bible began to tell us that, chapter 5 from verse 1, it says, I saw in the right hand of he that sat upon the throne a book written and sealed, 7 seals, the Bible says, and I heard a mighty angel proclaim with a loud voice, saying, who is worthy? So remember, what was the location of that book? In the right hand of he that sits upon the throne. This right hand that this man saw, that there was a book, that the location of that book was the right hand, and that the aptitude test that they subjected all spirits to was that who is worthy. That is, every realm should present their best candidate. The search started from heaven. People like Enoch, who walked with God and he was not, no matter how hallowed their track record with God was, they say no one was found in heaven. The Satan that was causing all the problem, he was there, he was not worthy. Now, that same right hand was what David spoke by prophecy. He says, the Lord said unto my Lord. It means he has qualified. They have found one. Sit at my right hand. until I make thine enemy. So the devil is not the enemy of God. The devil is the enemy of the Christ. Because God said there, I, God, will make thine enemy. Not our enemy, not my enemy. Thine enemy. If Satan comes before God, he bows, he pays homage. This is why if you know the capacity of the new creature, you will not be fidgeting. The real challenge now from the diagnosis of the lab of spirits is that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't know who we are. And so there are a lot of refurbished old men. They are still operating with the old frame, but they took a new uniform and wore on top of it. But you don't put new wine in old wineskins. You must first realize exactly the first step. So while talking about ascension, I know every time that concept is mentioned, the first thing that comes to our mind is an upward movement, maybe levitating. Ascension goes far beyond that. Ascension in this context is more about upgrade. It's like a device upgrading itself into the latest version that there be. Maybe when you buy an Android phone, you'll find out that when you open it from the pack, we currently have Android 13.0, right? Now, you might find out that your own Android phone arrived as 12.0 or maybe 11.0. The moment you insert a SIM into that device and activate data, your phone has a capacity to by itself suggest to you that I want to catch up with what is the latest as regarding phones. This is exactly what the Holy Ghost was for man. The Holy Ghost became the upgrade to come and bring every fallen son of Adam into the resurrected life. This is exactly what God was saying when he spoke to Adam, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. But man does not understand that superior life, so he thought he's still alive because breath didn't leave his nose. So he felt he was still alive. In case you don't know, every one of us was born dead. There are 5 encounters that guarantees for ascension. The first is salvation. Salvation. No salvation, no ascension. Live in sin, no ascension. Speak Greek, speak Hebrew, speak all kinds of deep apostolic terms. No salvation, no ascension. Go and listen to people's tape, memorize what they said, go and be repeating it verbatim. No salvation, no ascension. The reason behind this, in John chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible began to show us certain very hallowed truths. It says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And Jesus was speaking at a very point where the totality of his ministry was beginning to head towards the purpose why he came to the earth in the first place. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew that death is the end of this matter. While studying the life of Jesus, I came into the knowledge of certain things that not even Jesus was informed about the total scope of his assignment. They brought some portion of his assignment to him while he was already on ground. That's why men like Elijah and Moses appeared to him. They came to give him the other part. It was from then a sorrowful spirit entered him. He became heavy. He knew that I cannot escape this thing. The cup, you must drink it. Just as God will not tell you all the details. He will give you a glimpse of the glory that is set before you. It's when you start, you will now realize that glory has many dungeons inside. Like Joseph, you wake up one day with a smile and say, do you know that this night I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars all bowing before me? And people will say, oh my God, wow. That suggests a great destiny. And you say, stay there now, they play. from that day, all hell will break loose. Listen, in the agenda of God for every man, Satan has a role to play. The wisdom that fabricated your destiny gave a role to Satan, because everything that God's affection is channeled towards, Satan's investment too is channeled towards. Satan does not plant anywhere the good master has not planted. He waits until God plants. Then the only portion of land he is interested in is where the seed of the good master has been planted. Because God knows the obsession of Satan, he also reserves a wisdom that would accommodate Satan's tendencies. That when Satan does this and this, this will now help my son into what he's doing. I'm trying to tell you that everything Satan does will work for your good. It is this wisdom that encapsulated that scripture. All things, including tragedies, all things are working together. Satan is part of those who will help you arrive at destiny. The Bible says, if they knew. You know, there are very strict laws, strict protocols guiding the courts of heaven. A man cannot take his own life. So we will need people who will kill the Lamb of God. They played the most important role. But they played it thinking that they were stopping God. There is a wisdom older than time. There's a wisdom that knew that you'll be sitting in this hall by this time like this. The wisdom knew it. Can I share something with you? If God's instruction is this direction, and you choose in sin to go this direction, the wisdom is so encompassing that it also factored that there's a tendency that you might go like this, and when you go like this, this is the new trajectory of your life. All again is still coming here. The only thing you would have done, you would have added more years. There's a song by Theophilus that comes to my heart. It says, you reign forever. You are the wisdom before time began. There was a wisdom that meted us. A wisdom that fashioned our delicate parts together. There is a wisdom that calculated your insecurities. The things that makes you feel that, guy, if only I can just have more money. If only I can have more people believe in me. The fact that you come from a region, a family where you will not have so much resources at your disposal. There's also an addition that state of existence will bring to your life. The wisdom is perfect. When I found this, I rested in God. I don't argue with him. Let's go back to my scripture. John chapter 14, verse 2. Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus was going to finally embrace the assignment that was the reason why he came. And then he said this to his disciples. He said, in my Father's house. Now listen. As soon as Jesus entered time and began to manifest his ministry, the lexicon of the kingdom began to upgrade certain definitions. And one of the definitions that was upgraded is the concept of temple. So Jesus began to tell them that, destroy this temple and I will raise it up after 3 days. He was trying to re-educate them that temples, from the context of this new creation, will no longer be a building built with bricks and clay. The temple that God will dwell will be the bodies of men. And so he was changing the definition of temple in the lexicon of Zion. But the people who were around said, what do you mean? This temple that took years for our ancestor to build, what kind of arrogance is this? He knew that the definition of temple will change, because the Holy Ghost will lift from the Holy of Holies and he will rest upon the vessel of man. This is why the veil was torn as a signature physically, just in case you want to continue doing your routine. Know that that private arrangement is no longer there. If you are with me so far, please say amen. Amen. Now I want to say something and I need your attention. As at that time Jesus was re-educating them that the heavens have changed definition. We have moved. God has only one house. There was only one house capable of hosting God. In fact, in the totality of the whole of the old covenant, what you will find was that the spirit could not rest upon men. It needed to stay with certain binded covenant. It was upon, not within. Now, that concept of upon, it will be upon the hair of Samson. It will be upon the rod of Moses. And all of these things, they were symbolic to the Israelites. So they needed to preserve anything that carried that capacity to host God. Even the staff of Aaron had capacity to reveal that the presence can dwell in inanimate things. But it came to pass that God that was once for us, the totality of the old covenant, Israel being God's own people, it meant that God isolated a nation and bestowed his name upon them. So Israel is God's own people. The dimension of God they knew was God for us. God was seeking more intimacy, so they struck another covenant. It was Emmanuel, God with us. So God came and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God was our neighbor. So we were watching what God expected us to do. We were watching him flesh it out. It was no longer a theory. There was a practical display of God's will on earth. So when you want to learn what God will do in a matter, observe what Jesus would have done. Man missed God for us. Man missed God with us. But God was seeking more intimacy. And then we now have the dispensation of the Spirit, God in us. So we have capacity now to carry God. However, when Jesus was speaking, he says, in my Father's house. Which house? You know, when we want to preach salvation sermons, we use it in that context to suggest that there is construction activities going on in heaven, and Mother Cat and Jealous Beja are busy for many years. Now, to further impress sinners, we say, just imagine a house that is taking this long to build. Imagine how fine it will be. Then they say, now through Jesus. I remember those sermons. And those were sufficient lights for that time. We salute every laborer that brought those perspectives to us. However, if you know the almightiness of God, he upholds all things by the power of his word. He does not need to dirty his finger to create. So there's no construction going on anywhere. In fact, the heaven was perfected before the earth was created. If you are a student of the prophet, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven. That is, in terms of manifestation, heaven finished before earth. And even when rebellion broke out in heaven and the rebellion flowed into earth, heaven checked out their own rebellion completely. There's no iota of rebellion there. It's only earth that is still battling. Which house was Jesus talking about? The only scripture that can help us apprehend these things, the Bible says, until a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it will abide alone. Now, Jesus is saying, inside this one house, there are many mansions inside. Inside this one corn, there are many other... The reason why Jesus was saying these things is because he was going to also introduce the concept of the resurrected life to us. He lived on earth as a son of God, as a conqueror. He made us more than conquerors. So this is why he said, I am a house, but you guys will be mansions. The word that was translated mansion there in the Greek rendition is called abode. Abode. It's a dwelling place. Inside my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. There is no ascension. No ascension without salvation. For 139 times, you will find phrases like, in him. That is, he says, I'm going to prepare a place. He was going to the cross. He was going to secure a space for us. Now listen, something we must embrace this night. Let me see my time. Oh my God. You know what we'll do? I will continue this teaching on Friday. It will be wisdom to know violate protocols, especially when we have so much elders around. Has God blessed any of us? All right. Just bow your heads wherever you are. There is an age to come, and we can enter the experience and the power of that age. We can become real-time proofs that we dwell in the heavens, for we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities,
and powers,
above the rulers of the darkness of this world, above spiritual wickedness in high places. It is already our reality, but you must journey, you must ascend. If you have the Holy Ghost, then you must operate in maximum capacity. Refuse to be a victim. Refuse to underperform. We are citizens of the kingdom. Our economy is sponsored by our government. Oh, although you see us here, we are not of this world. We are of another economy. There is a kingdom we belong to. When men shall say there is a casting down, because we are not of this world, we will say there is a lifting. It's a good time to surrender to Jesus. It's a good time to be enlisted as a citizen of this kingdom. Brother, this is a good time. A good time. Come back home. There is a superior life. It is your inheritance. Enter it. We are citizens of the kingdom. We are not of this world.
Chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. In verse 7, he says the same came. You were sent not by God, but from God. Your source was God. You came from God. And when your time is spent, you will return to God. Now, the only You can choose to sit down and say, okay, we know that in the resurrection, the same thinking of Mary. We know that in the resurrection, you don't have to wait. Now, as we speak, it is possible to journey into the power of that age. You can become a proof that there is a world that is coming. You can become a proof that sickness has no authority over the resurrected life. It says they will take up deadly things. Deadly things. A viper beat Paul. In Hausa, they call that snake Gobedeniza. We have tasted of the power of the age to come. In a time where we don't have jets, we don't have cars, we don't have all of these more convenient means of transportation, a man called Philip, Jesus, listen, you can choose to stay and say, when we die, or you can enter and taste those things now. Today, my brief charge is to provoke a few of us, to provoke us to lay claim on our inheritance and say, no, this is my inheritance. As he is in heaven, so am I in this world. Do you know how he is? Let me tell you a bit about the pre-resurrected Christ. When he has not even resurrected, he will spend some time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He will get up and he will walk on water. And the elements will hold him up. He will speak to the winds and the waves, and nature was subjected to his rebuke. He will send message that they should go and meet a fish, that the fish has money. Hi! When I read Jesus' life, what is going on? This is the one that has not resurrected. He has not resurrected. When he resurrected, he now told us that now, all power. So, what was he using since? Which power then? So, we have not even caught up with the pre-resurrected Christ. That is why a lot of us, we don't even know why in Psalm 82 there was a tragedy in the heavens. He says, I say unto you, ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High God, but you die like men. So they created a dichotomy between men and gods. That time they were saying a new creature. They finally told you what they were trying to tell you. You are a god. He told Moses, this day I make you a god unto Pharaoh. God. Gods don't die. Gods don't die. See, your most prevalent meditation, it has a toll. It can reveal certain attributes through your life. The things you are most conscious of is responsible for your manifestation. You are a God. I will live to a ripe old age. I will call my children. I will bless everybody. I will rest in peace. No devil can cut my life. Hi. Gods don't die like that. No weapon formed or fashioned against you. Let me say something. Just maybe somebody will now be convinced. Saul contracted the witch of Endor and said, help me use the power of necromancy and summon the spirit of one man. He is the one that can give me counsel on this matter. The moment the woman used her skills and whatever was available to her, her statement as regarding the visage of Samuel after crossing the great beyond, she said, I see God. Small g. That is that God you refuse to operate as while you are alive. When you go there, some of you, your biggest regret is you will now see your true capacity versus how you lived. You were hiding throughout. You were living like a rodent, hiding, looking for darkness to hide inside. When you are the most audacious creature, she said, I see God. Then from the camp and company of God, she said, I saw one. As Samuel stepped out. Then Saul said, describe him. She started describing. Saul said, he's the one. He's the one. That man will not change. God, I say unto you, ye are God.
Please, can you? Maybe if you shout it, it will just be like you are psyching yourself. Whisper it to yourself. I'm a God. Because I am a child of the Most High God. Say the genes of God is in me. Say the seed of God is in me. Listen. Is it possible to plant maize and go and harvest pawpaw? It was a God that fell to the earth. It was God that was sown. It is only God that will be resurrected. Only God. After salvation, you are not permitted to be anything short of a God. Because the seed that was planted was a God. Every seed must produce after its kind. That's the law of seeds. And if a God was planted, only gods will be harvested. You are not permitted to be anything short of a God. Maybe you tell yourself that again, I'm a God. I can never be stranded. I'm a God. Because I'm a child of the Most High God. I have 4 more minutes here. I intend to use till the last second. This is the first time in a long while that I was given 30 minutes to do a teaching on ascension. Please, I want every one of us to step out of any distraction now. We'll use the next 3 minutes. There's one thing you will do. You will build up yourself in your most holy faith. Praying in the... You are going to pray until you become conscious of who you are. Is that consciousness we want to journey to? Lord, everything that suggests contrary, I pull down every high thing, every thought that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God in my life, I pull it down. Every thought of my background, thought of my ancestors, every challenge from where I came from, everything limiting my opinion of myself, everything making me think small of myself, I pull down every high thing. Some of you, there are voices in your head telling you are not good enough, telling you are not worthy, telling you are not qualified. Pull down every high thing. And worship him because we see ourselves in him. Our identities are found in him. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The reason why God is not big in your life, you have not praised him well. You have not placed him in his...
Ojo
do
dabu eno,
Our time is far spent. Listen, just give me your attention. Give me your attention. I want to tell you this as a footnote. There are a lot of us here who are confirmations of what I want to say now. I finished teaching the people of God about our inheritance in God, that we are from God and we are God because we are children of the Most High God. I was meditating on that revelation. So does that mean that amongst men I am a God? It began to change my idea, the way I see myself. I don't talk anyhow. Gods don't speak much. There's a sense of royalty. It suggests to you this thing of inferiority complex, it dies the moment you connect to your true identity. I'm a God. I was walking at this market across the road called Angwan Sunday Market. Many of you know what I want to say now. I was walking around there because I wanted to pick something. I didn't even park far from the road. A man just accosted me, located me, came to my front, stood and said, "You are not a God. The devil is the God of this world." Was I moving around saying, "I'm a God, I'm a God"? That utterance was only a meditation in my heart, but it was loud for spirits. So they were threatened by just that belief, just thinking that you are, they needed to send somebody who can communicate their vengeance. They said, "You are not a God. The devil is the God of this world." As he warned me, he now turned and walked away. So I said, so this is how it works. My meditations are loud to spirits. They know. They know the things I'm thinking. They know the things I'm thinking. So it means I am what I'm thinking. He saw a God. He saw a God in the marketplace. He said, "But gods don't buy things." He came and said, "You are not a God." So this is why the attack of Satan is to take the knowledge of the Holy One from you. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. This is his plan. Hold this truth dear to your heart. Don't let anybody talk you down. Don't let any situation or circumstance suggest the contrary. You are born of the highest quality of seed. You are a God.